The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, welcome to Bubble Genius.
We come in geese.
Hey, wow, man. Aliens!
We are in search of your planet's greatest achievements.
This is totally cool, dude. Here's some Shakespeare. Here's some Einstein. And here's our awesome glow-in-the-dark soap. An alien and a UFO.
What is this soap you speak of?
You get it wet, like so, and it lathers up and gets you clean, man. And look! It glows in the dark!
These bubbles are out of this world.
I, for one, welcome our sudsy alien overlords, man.
Take us to your bathtub.
Bubble Genius, because you never know who's going to stop by.
BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Okay, sir, you're a Lebowski, I'm a Lebowski. That's terrific. But I am very busy, as I imagine you are. What can I do for you, sir?
This rug I have, it really tied the room together.
You told Brandt on the phone, he told me. Where do I fit in?
Well, they were looking for you, these two guys.
Say it again. You told Brandt on the phone, he told me. I know what happened, yes, yes.
Oh, so you know that they were trying to piss on your rug.
Did I urinate on your rug?
You mean, did you personally come and pee on my rug?
Hello! Do you speak English, sir? Parla usted inglés? I'll ask you again. Did I urinate on your rug?
No, like I said, woo or peed on my rug.
I just want to understand this, sir. Every time a rug is micturated upon in this fair city, I have to compensate the person?
Come on, man. I'm not trying to scam anybody here.
Are you employed, Mr. Lebowski?
Well, wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of your own pleasure.
Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is Wednesday, August 14th, 2013, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez.
Yep.
Thought I'd say that emphatically. We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. You know it, you love it. It's BubbleGenius.com, the best bath and body products in the universe. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Charles is easily the best attorney I've ever dealt with. Fast, smart, he knows how to talk to you. Bowen Group covers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, elite firm ability. TheBowenLawGroup.com. Click the link on the blog page. I should say the podcast. All right, so we got a huge show. Just a gigantic show. I first want to mention that in a couple of weeks, we will be having our very first guests on the show. And I say guests, plural.
Okay.
I thought we'd do some cross-pollination, some cross-promotion with another podcast very similar to ours.
I always love it when this crap is new to me.
Yeah. We're having Drift Glass and Mr. Electro on the show. They're the hosts of the Professional Left podcast.
Okay.
That's going to be in 2 weeks. And so somehow I'm going to press some buttons on my machine here, and two more voices will magically appear on the show. Somehow that's possible. See, that's the thing. Honest to God, the reason we haven't had any guests on the show so far is because I'm afraid of the technology. I'm afraid we can barely get the two of us on the show. as you probably witnessed last week.
I was
going to
say, yeah, this is a recipe for absolute disaster.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess. It's going to be four people.
We can't do this show.
Squeezing through the Skype tubes. It's really going to be a disaster. I'm getting myself ready to just pull my hair out, to spend 3 hours recording a 55-minute show. Because we can't get the Skype to function correctly, which was the main problem last week, although the response I got was that last week was one of our best shows. Even though it was a nightmare on our end, I cannot describe to you how difficult it was to do last week's show. But right. Nevertheless, Drift Glass, Mr. Electro, right here on this show in 2 weeks. That's August 28th. And then I'm going to be on their show the day after. Uh-huh. And you're welcome to join us, Jess. I just didn't want to volunteer you for an extra podcast for your week,
that's all you, man. no offense to Drift Glass or whomever, but no, I'm exhausted as it is.
Yeah. So, well, good. I made the right call. But anyway, like I said, we do have a huge show. I think right off the bat, right before we started the show, the big news is that Bradley Manning, during his sentencing hearing, has officially apologized for putting America in danger due to his actions. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. This was a
he's
pretty...
He's obviously been forced to say that.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
He has been forced to say that.
Yeah. Well, here's his statement. Here's a statement in full. This is just happening right before we started recording the show. First, Your Honor, I want to start off with an apology. I am sorry. I am sorry that my actions hurt people. I am sorry that it hurt the United States. At the time of my decisions, as you know, I was dealing with a lot of issues. Issues that are ongoing, and they are...
Wait, just before you even say any more, can you see the conspiracy? Look right in front of you. Right in front of you right now. You can physically see the conspiracy theory forming in front of your face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
He's been waterboarded into saying this. He knows that, you know, they cut a deal with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. And it's already, you're already seeing little hints of it here and there, and I'll get to that in a second. But here it is. As you know, I was dealing with lots of issues, blah, blah, blah. Although they have caused me considerable difficulty in my life, these issues are not an excuse for my actions. I understood what I was doing and the decisions I made. However, I did not truly appreciate the broader effects of my actions. Those effects are clearer to me now through both self-reflection during my confinement in its various forms and through the merits and sentencing testimony that I have seen here. I am sorry for the unintended consequences of my actions. This is what, like, the third different I am sorry. Fourth, maybe. When I made these decisions, I believed I was going to help people, not hurt people. The last few years have been a learning experience. I look back at my decisions and wonder, how on earth could I, a junior analyst, possibly believe I could change the world for the better over the decisions of those with the proper authority?
Wow. Oh, my God. No, you know what? It's going to go deeper than that. Not that he's been waterboarded or that some sort of deal was cut. He actually isn't Bradley Manning. He is an alien. He's a robot.
That's right.
He's a Cylon.
Yeah. So should I play my conspiracy music, maybe? I'll just...
Yep. That's exactly what it is.
In retrospect, I should have worked more aggressively inside the system, as we discussed during the Providence statement, and had options, and I should have used those options. Unfortunately, I can't go back and change those things. I can only go forward. I want to go forward. Before I can do that, though, I understand that I must pay a price for my decisions and actions. Once I pay that price, I hope to one day live in the manner I haven't been able to in the past. I want to be a better person, to go to college, to get a degree, and to have a meaningful relationship with my sister's family and my family.
Wow.
I want to be a positive influence in their lives, just as my Deborah has been to me. I have flaws and issues that I have to deal with, but I know that I can and will be a better person. I hope you can give me the opportunity to prove, not through words, but through conduct, that I am a good person and that I can return to a productive place in society. Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, I mean, I certainly understand how he doesn't want to be in jail he doesn't want to be in prison for the next, 80 years.
Yeah. Well, that was Greenwald's first reaction over on Twitter. Greenwald said, well, first you have to turn on all of the replies. Greenwald said in reply to someone else, yes, though he's trying to get out of prison sometime before he's 50. It's understandable. The whole case is tragic.
I know, but you know what? Deep down, Greenwald is really sorry that he did that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because he wants him to, you know, he needs him to be this infallible creature, mm-hmm. this savior. He has to be beatified.
Sure. Well, I mean, what this implies here, this tweet from Glenn Greenwald, is that Manning is basically lying in court. I mean, he's not under oath, so I mean, that's not, you don't do the sentencing hearings under oath. But he's still lying in court, according to Greenwald. He's just saying this to get out of prison before he's 50.
Right. Yeah.
Did you notice that? You notice that it's actually the length of Greenwald's predicted sentence for Bradley Manning has gone down considerably from 130 years to the judge dropped it to 90. And now it looks like it's going to be, like, according to Greenwald, more like 30.
Right.
So that's interesting.
Exciting.
I mean, I don't think Manning is going to get an enormous sentence. I just don't think it's going to be as long as is predicted. It's certainly not going to be 90 years.
No, I don't think so either.
No. But I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea, really.
So I'm even hesitant to make a
prediction. But that's that. I mean, it's just fascinating. You never thought you'd see that. And so, yeah, like you said, I'm just waiting for the conspiracy theories to begin. No, he was drugged. Yeah. He's under the influence of some sort of
right,
you know, psychological drug.
You know, to some extent, you know, Greenwald is probably correct in saying that that, you know, he doesn't, obviously this guy will say what he needs to say to try to avoid staying in prison forever. Probably because I have to assume that Bradley Manning is wise enough to know that all these people who are deifying him. It's like, you know what? It's not going to be your ass that's in prison for the next however many years.
Yeah.
So screw you if you want me to continue to stand tall.
That's right. And honest to God, I mean, this is something any of us would do. You're facing that kind of prison sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so and I don't know. Would he go to jail in a – I don't think he'd go to jail in a civilian prison. I think he'd go into a military prison, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah. So maybe be back to Fort Leavenworth, which is where he was for most of this time. He was only at Quantico for a very short period of time, relative to the amount of time he's actually spent incarcerated previous to his trial.
Right.
But then they moved him to Leavenworth, which I imagine is where he would end up.
Probably.
Yeah, it's just a strange thing. I don't understand. Well, I'm trying to understand the deliberate ignorance about what's been going on, whether it's this or the other stuff regarding Snowden and so on, which we're going to get to a little bit in the show today, obviously.
Right.
But you know, here's the thing. Like, Connor Friedersdorf today tweeted something to the effect, he was replying to Tom Friedman. We all know Tom Friedman's a douchebag.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, Tom Friedman said that America doesn't treat true whistleblowers unfairly. And Connor Friedersdorf said, yeah, well, what about Thomas Drake?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, Thomas Drake got 1 year of probation. I mean, how is that at all being treated unfairly?
Right.
For leaking classified information? I don't know. What the hell is the disconnect here?
Right.
I don't know. I want to say that it's some kind of I don't know if they got together and decided this, or they're collectively all thinking this at the same time. But to take extreme positions in order to get some lesser reward from it. You remember what it was like during the healthcare reform debate, where a lot of people were saying, I remember Cenk Uygur saying this all the time, president should have gone for single payer right off the top. And then when it got reduced, whittled down to something closer to like the public option, that would have been the bill.
You know,
like overreaching in order to get what you want. It's like almost like a defense in depth kind of, you know, strategy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the case here, where they're just totally blowing everything out of proportion in order to get something that's not quite what they want, but what they actually do.
Yes.
To some lesser extent. That could be it. Who knows? But let's see. What else do we got out of the show today? I want to talk about Cory Booker and the far left reaction to not only the primary, but Cory Booker himself.
Right. The completely expected,
The self-immolation of the left, the continued political impotency of the left.
Yeah, but I think, it's interesting. You referenced, and I read it too, that piece from Perrine. And, again, I like Perrine overall. But I really do think that his comments specifically are really – he's doing the Gawker thing. Mm-hmm. He's always pissy. That's his M.O. His M.O. is like – it sounds like political nihilism, and it kind of is. But it's also he doesn't like anybody. He just beats up – he's snarky. That's his thing.
Yeah. Well,
so it's not really a surprise.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't the only one. It was Sirota, Daily Sirota, Coast. Jesus. Charlie Pierce was even all over Booker, just ripping him to shreds. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Some Snowden, Greenwald, NSA stuff. We'll get to that in a bit, too. That also involves, we're going to do a little experiment with David Sirota. We could do some experimentation with David Sirota, which is always fun. This Week in Guns, several... Like an entire, This Week in Guns, that bucket of show is overflowing. Mm. So we definitely want to get to that, see if we can get to that during the show. If we don't, of course, we'll bump everything over to the after party like always.
Right.
And this week's after party, by the way, is also packed. So we may not get to any of this.
Mm.
So in the after party, we're going to talk about hackers. We're going to talk about my updated handheld technologies. A very cool YouTube trick that I learned about today. And we're going to talk about that in the after. But this is very cool. This is like a YouTube hack. And we're going to talk about that. Plus, the Republicans have wheeled out the lazy shiftless dog whistle attack now that the president's on vacation, like they do always. So we're going to get into that a little bit. This is all in the after party, by the way. So you have to subscribe to listen to that. You have to pay $6 a month to go to the blog. Sign up. It's cheap, inexpensive, and simple to do. So you want to do that if you want to listen to the after party. It's our second show each and every week, available at noon on Thursdays. So that'll be coming up tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, it'll be tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Thursday, it's today. So who knows when the hell you listen. Of course, we got to talk about Food Network Star and some music stuff. That'll be on the after party later on. So, but first, I guess this, we're going to talk about this, this Cory Booker thing right after this.
Bubble Genius Bob and Kez Show.
Okay, we're back.
Doing all right.
And, the reason we play this music is, I don't know if you're aware, listening at home there or in your car, this show is also syndicated to a radio station in Washington, D.C., WPWC, We Act Radio, 1480 AM. And so we got to put these breaks in order for them to play their commercials. So we start the music, they fade out the music, and they play a bunch of commercials, and they fade the music back in, and there we are again.
Right.
But it's fun. It gives us a little chance to take a breather.
Cool.
I'm going to get you say something other than right and cool.
My brain is kind of fried today. I'm completely overwhelmed. Completely. I have more on my desk, on my plate, on my mind right now than you could ever imagine.
I know.
I'm Brett in Alien today. Right. That's me. I'm here to be your sounding board. You bounce whatever you want off of me, and I will agree.
Okay, so
I'm just kidding.
So Cory Booker won the Senate primary in New Jersey Tuesday.
Yeah, and, as expected.
Yeah.
There, see, that's just
as expected because, he was like way, way ahead of the field. He won the last numbers I saw. He won 59% of the vote in a four-way race.
Yep.
So the other three, they barely registered. And also, on top of all of that, Cory Booker, I think, has a 19-point lead over the Tea Party Republican nominee, whose name is Steve Lonergan.
Right.
And so, in typical fashion, the far left, who did they side with? Not Cory Booker, who, if they played along and understood political reality, could actually align with Cory Booker. And then when Cory Booker is inevitably elected to the U.S. Senate, they would have an ally to lobby and voice their grievances to and say, look, I know we don't always align on these things, but here are these priorities that we have, us, the progressive movement. Can you work with us on these things, Senator Booker? But no. That doesn't happen at all.
Yep.
Instead, what do? They not only endorse Rush Holt, who prior to the election...
was actually the correct answer. Who? Rush Holt, who?
Yeah, right. Polling at around 9%, I think came away with, it was either 15 or 17% of the vote on Tuesday. So, but they not only endorsed Rush Holt, which would have been fine in and of itself. You want to be ideologically pure, you go with Rush Holt. But at the same time, you don't do that and then completely flame and burn an effigy the would-be nominee and eventual winner of that Senate seat, vacated by Frank Lautenberg. Because now you're making yourself a big enemy. Meanwhile, Rush Holt is still a member of Congress, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, just the tone deafness, the ongoing tone deafness of the far left is astonishing. And again, you know, here's so far on this show, I sound like a conservative, for God's sake. But this is how far left, far the left.
Sorry,
is.
I had a mouthful of, no, not what usually I have a mouthful of, lemonade there. But I wanted to say, yeah, you're like, the more you mention to me, especially, you know, the more I think about what you mentioned last week about how you are obviously, and you are, you're much further to the left than I am. I was over at the Bubble Genius Lab a little while ago, letting my kid, you know, experiment with soap, and they put together soap for her, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, and it's really cool when she's sitting here with the bag open, loving it. But I was telling them, I'm like, Bob is like, they think he's conservative now. There are people who read the Daily Banter who think that you're like some kind of neocon. It's hilarious.
That is absolutely hilarious. And that's how far off the rails the far left has gone. I consider myself pretty far left.
You are much further left than me.
In the grand scheme of things, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, I guess I'm center left. But I think that's mainly because I find myself grounded in reality.
You're at least practical, I try to be. Left.
Yeah.
And there are people, we talked about it last week, there are people who believe that practicality is somehow, no, man, we can't have practicality because that means that you're just, you know, that means you're a sellout.
Yeah.
It's that, God, it's like working in an indie record store with these people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You like Soundgarden? Well, I like Tad. I bet you've never heard of that. Oh, yeah? You know, what? I liked them before anybody liked that. Now that they've become big, they've sold out.
Yeah.
And I don't listen to them anymore. I move on to, you know what? Cory Booker, I used to like the old stuff before you knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, though, Rush Holt, that's where it's at.
That's right.
That is exactly the way these assholes look at politics. The same way that snobby, crappy hipster, the same way they look at music.
That's right.
And everything else. If it becomes too popular, we can't have it anymore because you're a sellout if you like it.
Yeah. And so what do they win? What do they win? Nothing except their own, you know, sanctimonious self-satisfaction. Because they stood by their principles and then lost by huge margins. Yeah. And subsequently, you know, they come out of the whole thing seeming politically impotent. No one outside of that particular faction of the left thinks that those people have any sort of real political sway.
Yep.
You know. Meanwhile, on the far right, the Tea Party people own that party. The Tea Party people control the Republican Party. And I don't know how exactly what the dynamic is that created that. But on the far left, they're just off. They're on their own little, in their bubble, just swapping, you know, their hipster LPs back and forth,
yeah.
Like you said. I mean, what would they have won?
Yeah.
What would they have lost, I should say? Nothing.
You like Pearl Jam? You know, did you know Mother Love Bone? Yeah. Did you know Malfunction? How about Green River? Yeah, I mean, that's the, really, it's if you're big enough, you know, and the crappy thing is that it, you know, I hate to keep using the music analogy, but it creates this entire ethos, even among the people who are involved, that they can never become too popular. You know, you turn into Kurt Cobain, you know, where if you get any kind of popularity at all, you don't know how to deal with it, and you feel like you've sold out.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Meanwhile, their candidate, had he, through some miracle, won the primary, is only ahead by this Tea Party wingnut, Steve Lonergan. Was only in a hypothetical matchup.
Every time I hear that name, by the way, I immediately think of Robert Shaw and The Sting, Doyle Lonergan.
You sure? I mean, Holt would have only led Lonergan by 0.7%. Basically, tied.
No, nah, man, that was still a lead.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Booker leads Lonergan by 19%. So, say Lonergan won in a hypothetical matchup against Holt. What would these people have won out of that? What would they get? Nothing. They get nothing. It's a no-win. They chose a no-win path.
Right, but who is it? Who was it who put up on Twitter today? Somewhere, Facebook or Twitter, put up the comment that from Greenwald, and I hate to bring it back to Greenwald, but put up the comment from him that I remember very specifically, and that was the one where I absolutely stopped taking him seriously, when he said that he is willing to essentially, he said he's willing to set the village on fire. He's willing to allow for the election of a bunch of Republicans. He's willing to allow for evil to triumph, so that eventually it can break the two-party system and bring up more sort of progressive libertarians or whatever on the left.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is just a fine thing to say if, A, you don't live with it every day, mm-hmm. or, B, you're stupid and don't realize that the more you allow a certain political dynamic to take hold, the harder it's going to be to break it at some point. Even if you do come back with people who are, you know, even if you do burn down the two-party system and out of its ashes rises, you know, a bunch of very, very libertarian progressive types, it's going to be harder to break the thing, the grip of the thing that you have allowed to get that grip in the first place, that thing that you've allowed to succeed by being an asshole.
I've got that quote right here, and we're going to get to it after a break, back after this. It's the best bath and body products ever. BubbleGenius.com. Chez was just there with his daughter.
Absolutely.
If Chez can get a child to be enthusiastic about soap, you got to know the soap's really good.
That's not really fair because my kid's enthusiastic about everything. But yes, that's regardless. She had a really great time, so I owe Paul and Sarah a lot.
We're going to just say that Bubble Genius convinced children to be enthusiastic about soap.
Well, she is enthusiastic about soap. That's not true.
Well, most children aren't. Most children are, you know, content to be filthy.
That's true. And you know what? That is true. It remains to be seen whether or not that enthusiasm holds over to bath time tonight.
Filthy, filthy, filthy kids. And Bubble Genius is the cure for that. Go to BubbleGenius.com for all of your bath and body needs. Here's the latest word from Bubble Genius.
Oh, welcome to Bubble Genius.
We come in peace.
Hey, wow, man. Aliens.
We are in search of your planet's greatest achievements.
This is totally cool, dude. Here's some Shakespeare. Here's some Einstein. And here's our awesome glow-in-the-dark soap. An alien and a UFO.
What is this soap you speak of?
You get it wet, like so, and it lathers up and gets you clean, man, and look! It glows in the dark!
These bubbles are out of this world!
I, for one, welcome our sudsy alien overlords, man.
Take us to your bathtub.
Bubble Genius, because you never know who's going to stop by.
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Yeah, please do go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, drop us some favorable remarks. We do appreciate it. We're also, the promo code is Bob and Chez, BobandCheZ, for 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com, exclusive to listeners of this show. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've got this quote here from Glenn Greenwald discussing why he and his acolytes in the far left, far left, engage in this self-defeating political strategy.
Right.
Like they did with the New Jersey Senate race, the New Jersey Senate primary. So here's what, this is via Joy Reid, who's, the Reid Report, often on MSNBC. She quoted Glenn Greenwald having spoken to this college group in Wisconsin. And Greenwald said, "Even though I know that by abstaining or supporting a third party, I'm going to be sacrificing some of my short-term political interests. I'm going to be causing a few more Republicans to be elected than otherwise might be elected. On balance, I'm willing to sacrifice my short-term interests in order to do something to subvert the stranglehold that these two parties have on the political process. Because electing more Democrats, even though it's a little less scary, accomplishes nothing good."
Yeah, and I mean, What's interesting about that is that, you know, I'm rarely the kind of person who makes the comment that, well, you know what, you live in Rio, so who gives a crap? Mm-hmm. But certainly I think where he lives does come into play when something like that comes up, because that was written especially when he really did spend, you know, when he wasn't the international success he is today, and he you know, thanks to Snowden, and he spent most of his time in Rio. And so here he is. It's like, it's a really easy thing to say that you're willing to burn down the village when you don't live in the village.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's kind of the definition right there, the long form definition of white privilege. Now, I know you have a love-hate relationship with that.
No, but that's a fine point, though. Where you're going with it is right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, what it is, it's very convenient for him as a relatively well-off white guy living in Rio.
Living abroad.
Yeah. To say that when he doesn't have to necessarily deal with the awful repercussions of things like voter ID laws and transvaginal ultrasounds.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. He is a well-off white guy living abroad doesn't have to deal with the disenfranchisement mm-hmm. from Republicans. He doesn't have to deal with the absolute just evisceration of women's rights.
That's right. There are so many social issues and international issues, monetary economic issues that are sacrificed in the altar of this guy's sanctimony. I mean, if you take that attitude, what you're doing is those short-term goals that he sort of brushed off in that quote, those short-term goals are massive. They are colossal. If you are a minority in this country, if you are economically challenged in this country, if you're a woman in this country, what, 53% of the population? You're screwed if more Republicans get elected this year or next year. Short-term means big time changes. I mean, these Republicans are infiltrating every level of the government from the school board on up. And if you're not participating or voting third party because you think that's awesome, you simply do not understand how this system works. And therefore, you need to step off before you poison other people into thinking the same thing. Just absolutely absurd, absolutely infuriating. And if anyone thinks I'm a conservative after listening to this segment, you're effed in the head. Oh, my God. It's just, it's this stuff. This speaks to the core of why I take these positions, why I'm so effing rabid when it comes to this NSA situation and Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden and David Sirota and all of these douchebags who think that this is a great idea. Now you have even Bradley Manning is retracting everything he did, you know, in order to get out of his prison
sentence. But again, that's because, you know, he's not Bradley Manning anymore.
That's because he's been tortured and drugged.
He's a robot.
He's been replaced by a robot. He's been replaced by a pod person. So I don't know what the latest excuse is here because I can't follow it on the show, but I'm sure there's many more coming down the Twitters at this point. So we're going to talk about a little bit about what's going on in that world, the whole world of Greenwald and Snowden regarding the NSA situation in the next segment. But it's all and oh yes, we do have, and I'm absolutely going to get to it on the show. On this particular show, we're not going to blow it off. We're not going to send it over to the after party. We're going to do it on this show. And we're going to do a little David Sirota experiment. And Mr. Pure Sanctimonious David Sirota, we're going to perform a little experiment on one of his columns today. And so we'll do that after the break. But also, we're going to talk a little bit about this presidential executive order. It's actually presidential policy directive number 19. Mm-hmm. That would have covered Edward Snowden. We're going to talk about that, too. And then maybe we'll get to This Week in Guns. And not have to start the after party off with a bunch of shootings. But yep. We'll get to all of that after a brief break. Back right after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
I've been listening to this song, or this album, a new Daft Punk album on Endless Loop. I just do that. Record. Yeah, I mean, I just do that. I tend to do that where I just put on a record and I play it over and over again. I play it over and over again.
Yeah, I mean,
weeks
it's derivative as hell, but I do like it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's some weird stuff on it. There's like a 9-minute spoken word track in there somewhere.
Oh, you're talking about the Giorgio Moroder track.
Yeah. So, but it's good. The new Daft Punk record is really great. And especially since that Stephen Colbert thing from last week.
Yes.
I'm really, really in love with this record. So anyway, so we're going to do this David Sirota experiment. But first, I guess it requires a little bit of preference. There was a column that appeared on The Atlantic by this guy named Bruce Schneer, and he's obviously very well-read and well-spoken and very knowledgeable about security issues. But he wrote this thing in which he essentially begged ISPs and other tech companies to protect him from the government. Because the government, in his view, has commandeered the internet. And he actually used those words. The government has commandeered the internet. Just curious, since the government invented the internet and regulates the internet and provides billions of dollars in internet R&D, But, okay, we'll concede that. The government has commandeered the internet. Even though the fact of the matter is that corporations have long since commandeered the internet. And the government, in fact, is the last remaining shield between net neutrality and corporate-tiered bandwidth. That's kind of what we're facing. I mean, so please, government, stop the corporations from tiering the internet and making it a nightmarish place in which we all have to pledge fealty to these people. It's corporations. So I see, I'm reading this thing, and it occurs to me that I have a browser extension on. I don't use Firefox anymore. I use Chrome. But
I've used Chrome since it came out.
Yeah. Well, over on Firefox, there's a big clunky browser I hate using. It takes half an hour to load. I have a extension loaded up on there called Ghostery.
Ghostery, yeah.
Yeah, Ghostery. And what it does is it tracks all of the, it lets you know all of the corporate trackers, all of the web bugs that are embedded secretly within a web page.
Right.
So I ran Ghostery on this article at The Atlantic. With this guy who, is taking this position that that the government has commandeered the internet. There were 33 different corporate trackers embedded in that page. Sure. I mean, we both work for the Daily Banter. There are corporate trackers embedded on the Daily Banter. But we're not taking this, this self-righteous position on privacy. It's just it's kind of something that, is exclusive to the hypocrisy argument. If your whole thing is privacy, You got to make sure your own house is in order when it comes to privacy.
Right.
So I clicked over to Glenn Greenwald's ex-KeyScore article. There were 27 corporate trackers embedded in Glenn Greenwald's ex-KeyScore article. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, the guys are in cahoots with Prism, NSA's Prism system, Google, there's several Google things, several Facebook things. I mean, multiple analytics trackers.
Yeah, man, but Google doesn't arrest you, man.
Yeah, the people who think corporations can't have you arrested and prosecuted, you're living in la-la land. What color is the sky in your world? Because corporations have people arrested all the time. You know,
if nothing else, the government answers to us, at least in some way.
Yeah. I cannot tell you the number of corporate cease and desist letters that I've received because of things I've posted on the internet.
Have you really? I haven't gotten one of those yet.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I've been around for 7 years, and I pissed off everybody and haven't gotten one of those yet.
I mean, not necessarily when it comes to the stuff I've written, but the cartoons, the satirical cartoons.
That makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
The funniest was Dick Vitale, which I completely ignored. Dick Vitale tried to sue me because of a cartoon.
He's going to sue you, baby.
He's suing me, baby. Right? So, but anyway. Anyway. So, yeah, I mean, let's say a friend of mine got a threatening letter from an ISP because my friend downloaded a movie on BitTorrent. That actually happens.
Okay.
That happens quite a bit. Happens quite a bit. But nevertheless, so this is 27 corporate trackers, analytics bugs, analytics, little invisible things that ascertain all kinds of demographic information about anyone who clicks on that page if they don't have those things blocked somehow. And I imagine, by and large, most people don't have that because they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to get the extensions to block those things.
I don't, because I don't care.
I only heard about Ghostery like a month ago. I didn't even know it existed.
I swear to God, I want to go back in time by just 10, 15, 20 years at the most and try to have a conversation with someone. Yeah, so anyway, my Spotify and Twitter account and my Ghostery, and it would be like speaking Swahili.
Right. Are you also going to get...
People have no freaking clue what you're talking about.
Are you also going to fill your horseless carriage full of gasohol?
Oh, God.
It'd be like so old-timey.
My Vic 20.
Right. So I'm going to do an experiment here. I'm at salon.com.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm going to go over, let's see, I'm going to go to David Sirota. And then I'm going to go to, let's see, okay, yeah, that looks like a good one. I'm going to run a Ghostery scan of David Sirota's column. All right, David Sirota, who's vehemently anti-government, you know, privacy purist. Okay? All right, Ghostery is now running on David Sir. There, okay, it's going up. It's 20, 27, 30, 33, 40. All right, we're now up to, it'd be great if this had like a little noise that went along with it. If the Ghostery thing had a little like a blip, 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 blip with everyone that got, okay, now we're up above 50. It's at 73 and 70, 74 different corporate trackers on David Sirota's column. 74. 74 corporate trackers. And you know what the column is? Headline. Is online privacy a right?
I guess not.
David Sirota. Again, if you... See, now, look. What we don't understand is if you take one individual... And one click on something, let's say in this case, an email that the NSA somehow is going to get its hands on, versus a click onto this salon.com article by David Sirota called, Is Online Privacy a Right? Yeah? The amount of information that Salon is gathering from this one click versus one email that the NSA might have, there is far more detailed information about you being sent to all of these corporations that put these bugs. I mean, demographic information, IP addresses, all sorts of information, you know, geographic location, browser, time spent on the page, all kinds of specific things. What they do is they ascertain, and then they follow you around other places on the internet to determine what your interests are. And then they feed advertising to you based on those interests. There was an article today, or yesterday actually, in Gizmodo about Gmail and how it's suddenly admitted by Google that Gmail is scanning your emails to determine what sorts of ads you're most likely to click on. So what, right. What kind of ads should be fed to your totally free Gmail account supported by advertising? Okay, so this is supposed to be a huge bombshell, right? Again, we got to have this. Evil Google, which, by the way, has several trackers on David Sirota's piece and Glenn Greenwald's piece and the Atlantic piece. Evil Google is reading your email. And this is a bombshell in and amongst all this NSA hysteria. Well, we come to find out via Charles Johnson, Little Green Footballs, that we knew about this. There was an article about what Gmail does with tracking and advertising in 2004. Nine years ago? Is my math correct on that? Yeah, 9 years ago. 9 years ago, there was a piece about Google, you know, scanning your email, trying to find some keywords to determine what kind of advertising, you know, will most appeal to you. This is nothing new. I mean, you're acquiescing to a free corporate service. What the hell did you expect? There's no oversight at Google. There's no oversight at Microsoft. No judicial oversight whatsoever. No Senate House committees determining what's right and wrong, what adheres to the Constitution. This is, I mean, as we know from the corporate climate in America, it is the Wild West. They can do whatever they want with impunity. And somehow we're alarmed by the NSA, which has multiple layers of oversight, whether it's the FISA court, whether it's the Privacy and Liberties Oversight Board, whether it's several House and Senate committees, whether it's the inspector generals, both the Department of Defense and, yes, there's an inspector general at NSA, making sure everything happens within, you know, the parameters of the Constitution. And when it goes astray, it's only because guys like Dick Cheney said, hey, you know what, we're going to waive that law that says, you know, you can't listen to American phone conversations, which is actually what happened. I mean, he waived the rules that say NSA can't listen. And so, you know, that remained into effect until it came out that all of this was happening. But that's what can happen, sure. But we have to understand where that comes from. And by the way, it's going to come from most likely Republican presidents. And Glenn Greenwald thinks that his short-term goals don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. More Republicans, fine. That's fine with him. Oh, my God. It's really, really exhausting. So 74 different corporate trackers on David Sirota's online privacy article. By the way, David Sirota, one of the most vocal opponents of Cory Booker. I mean, just wrote an absolutely scathing post about how Cory Booker is the devil.
Right, because there it is. Because it's you know, because he's too big.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We need time to go listen to King Buzzo and the Melvins instead of Nirvana.
I love that you know the names of all these obscure hipster bands.
No, obscure. You know, it's funny. I keep going back to the quote unquote Seattle grunge era.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
For that, yeah, because I mean that's when I knew like every band on earth.
Oh, my God, My Life with a Thrill Kill Cult. I know a few of those. I was in college.
Oh, I love Thrill Kill Cult. Yeah, that wasn't Seattle, but yeah, I love them.
Okay, so there was this other thing. The president held a press conference, televised press conference the other day, gave a little speech announcing that he was going to be reforming, taking steps to reform the FISA court. And naturally, we heard all of the cries of not good enough. Mm-hmm. While he was still talking about it. While he was still talking about it, my Twitter went nuts with all of those same people that not good enough. Oh, he's going to make a website? Bah! So pathetic. But then he mentioned, the president mentioned that back in October, actually happened, president signed a presidential policy directive, number 19, that protects, specifically protects whistleblowers inside the intelligence community. So then after, while he's still talking, a link from the International Business Times began circulating amongst all these people. It was hilarious seeing self-identified liberals circulating an IB Times post. Nevertheless, it was an article that quoted an activist named Angela Canterbury, one person who said that PPD 19 doesn't extend to contractors like Edward Snowden, which it turns out not true. Not true. Here's the Inspector General of the Department of Defense. This person would have been Edward Snowden's first stop in blowing the whistle on what he thought was, some sort of abuse inside NSA. She said that she believed that contract employees are already adequately covered by PPD 19, which President Obama signed in October. And on top of that, the 1998 Intelligence Community Whistleblower Protection Act, both of which would have protected Edward Snowden. I wonder what Snowden thought of Bradley Manning's apology, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Just throwing that out there.
Very unhappy.
Someone should ask him. But, I mean, this goes back to the...
In Russian.
in Russian. Das Vidanya. That's about all the Russian I know. I just throw that out there. So this brings us back to the war on whistleblowers, which is one of Greenwald's big buzzwords. A lot of people talking about how President Obama has declared this relentless war against whistleblowers, which is untrue, which is patently untrue. In 5 years, this president has authorized three different pieces of legislation and one policy directive protecting whistleblowers explicitly. All right. There was the PPD 19, right? There was the there was a thing in the Federal Enforcement and Recovery Act of 2009, which extended whistleblower protections to government contractors and subcontractors who reported fraud, misuse of federal money. He also signed the 2013 NDAA back in December, which expanded whistleblower protections for federal contractors who report waste, fraud, and abuse. There was also the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act, which he signed last November. So four different things in 5 years, because clearly the president hates whistleblowers. He's got it out for them. Yeah, nonsense. Utter and complete nonsense. All right. So, well, we didn't get to everything. What can I say? This week in guns gets bumped back to the after party. That's okay. It'll be okay. So once again, coming up on the big after party this week, a little bit of stuff about hackers and an article by Charlie Savage, who's been doing a lot of good work covering the Manning trial. Well, mostly good work. And some stuff about how I've updated my handheld technologies.
Oh, yeah, I saw you read something about that.
Some YouTube magic, which would be fun. Food Network star, cute. I would say it's hilarious. I would say it's more adorable. Some adorable audio.
Okay.
And maybe we'll talk some facts, some little-known facts about the Big Lebowski. No particular reason why, other than I spotted it and I thought it was entertaining. So that's it for the show. We'll see you next week. After party is Thursday, noon Eastern. Subscribe, why don't you? Take care, everybody. Bye.